ओम शांति। We're going to talk about our eternal mantras, and we have quite a lot of mantras. And a mantra is a piece of advice, you know that, right? We have mantras and then we have yantras. Have you heard about yantras? Yantra is an instrument. So most of our mantras are also yantras. So we do things with them. And they, something happens as a result of applying the mantra and the yantra.
Heating band karnaji.
So the mantra that we're going to look at now is forget your body, forget your bodily relations, forget your bodily religion, and remember one alone. Is that okay? The first mantra is Om Shanti. Everybody knows that one. The next mantra is Man Mana Bhav. Everybody knows that one. Next mantra is Madhyaji Bhav. You know that one as well. Remember the one in the middle. Then there's another one, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraj. You might not know that one. It means take refuge in one alone. And then this one is the next one after that. So there's a progression of mantras. And I suppose from time to time you pose this question to yourself, that what exactly is it that we are doing here? Do you ask yourself this question? Because it's very subtle what we're doing, and there's a framework to what we're doing, which is all of the practices. It's really a framework. But what we're actually doing, especially according to this mantra, is we are giving permission for all the things that we think are real to crumble around us, within us, and for that to be okay. Yeah? Is that right? So, when we say forget your body, it doesn't actually mean forget your body. So, we need to know what is a way to interpret it. Because, of course, we can be sitting in the bodiless stage and experience the self independently of the body. But that's not really what it's about, although it's very important to have the experience, because then you can feel internally that there is such a thing as I am not my body. But your body is many things. A part of forgetting your body is to forget your gender. And for some people it's quite easy to do that. But for some people it's extraordinarily difficult to forget your gender. And when Baba tells us that anyway, if you have 84 births, then 42 of them are male and 42 of them are female, so you can't really identify with one gender or another, is that right? So, but some people, they don't like that idea, and they say, no, I am a male. Females don't usually have that problem so much as males, because it's a patriarchal world that we live in. And the story is stacked in that direction and against the other direction. Your bodily relations. Your relations are the people who provide you with many elements of your identity. And in India and other very traditional societies, your identity is entirely about your relations, your bodily relations. you are the son or daughter of someone, the mother or father of someone, and your position in the society is determined by your parents, grandparents, and all this. And so if you say, I am in this or that part of the society, it's because of the social milieu in which you were born. And in India, that includes caste, which is not a very movable thing. It's a very fixed part of your identity. And in the Western world, it's a bit more like class. You're wealthy, you're not wealthy. Then we have the different races. And so your body color is part of your bodily identity. And whether you are beautiful, thin, fat, tall, short, what your, you know, racial characteristics are, along with color, there are other attributes, the language that you speak. So when people look at themselves or when they look at each other, they see all that and they look at another person through those filters. And so when Baba says, forget your bodily relations and forget your body, it has a lot to do with allowing those filters to disintegrate and then seeing, if I don't have any of these filters, do I still exist? And of course, Baba says, of course you exist. And then the bodily religion. Religion is, of course, a translation of the word dharma. And dharma is quite a wide word that includes culture. And so it's really the story that you get as you grow up, which provides you with another dimension of your identity. So the belief systems, for example, if you believe in the Big Bang, you know, that's also part of dharma. If you believe in evolution, that's part of dharma. If you believe in reincarnation or not, that's part of dharma. And many, many attributes, whether you're first world, second world, third world, all these things. And then all the different beliefs about God and about meaning of life and so on and so forth. All this story is your dharma. And then these stories get told to us. And of course, what do? When we're listening to the Murli, we're listening to a story. Golden Age, Silver Age, Copper Age, Iron Age, Confluence Age, go to the soul world, come back, go around the cycle, up and down and round forever. That's our story, right? And then other people's story starts in some nebulous place in the past, and then it goes either to heaven or hell and stops. And so it's very linear. And our story that Baba gives us is the eternal drama, which is identically repeating. And if you are a BK, then the assumption is that you go along with the story that this is an identically repeating drama that repeats every 5,000 years. Is that right? Am I right? Everybody sitting here is thinking in that way. Yes? Put your hand up if you are. There's quite a lot who are not. So, this story that we have is a yantra. And that means it's an instrument. We tend to think in terms of facts. And when we think of it in terms of facts, then we have a lot of questions like, but what about dinosaurs? But what about various things? And Baba says, well, you know, it's a yantra, it's an instrument. And you need to spin it. And when you spin it, something very particular happens. So this mantra, forget your body, forget your bodily relations, and forget your bodily religion, is the part that has to go. And then you want to see, what is the part that doesn't have to go? And what is the part that is the essential truth that we want to extract and that we want to hold on to in order to get a sense of our existence, which is independent of the material world? And that's quite a difficult thing because we are very much influenced by our sense perceptions. So one of the things that our mantras tell us is that, or our practice of soul conscious, right? Om Shanti means I am a peaceful soul. But what a peaceful soul also means is that you are independent of the movement that happens when you are in a body and interacting with the drama and the other characters in the drama. So our practice of soul consciousness is to be detached from our body, from our sense organs, and from the objects of sense perception, and to relate to them in a completely neutral way. So our first obstacle in applying these mantras is that part of our belief system, doesn't matter what religion you're in, part of the belief system is that there is good and bad and somewhere in between, or there's right and wrong and somewhere in between. And so we decide whether something's right or wrong, good or bad, and then if it's right and good, then we think it's nice, and if it's wrong and bad, then we try to make it not happen or make it not be or change it or something like that, you know. And one of the signs of this is there's all kinds of BKs who think that they should change their sanskaras, is that right? And you probably spend quite a lot of time and energy trying to change your sanskaras, and it's really quite impossible, yes? And this is because, actually, we don't have to change our sanskaras at all because they're fixed in our soul. And what we do have the possibility of is to change our consciousness. Because depending on the quality of our consciousness, different sanskaras are activated. So if you are body conscious and trying to change body conscious sanskaras, they're not going to change. You're just going to fight with yourself until you're really tired out. And then you'll say that you don't think you're a proper Brahman, or you don't think Raja Yoga works, like that. And actually, I think it's not really about that. What I feel is that when we are in our power, then our more pure Satopradhan Golden Age type sanskaras get activated. And when we are not in our power, when we are tired or weak or we haven't done much yoga or whatever, then our Iron Age sanskaras get activated. What do you think? Is that right? So it seems to me the more important, more effective practice is to try all the time to make ourselves more subtle, more independent of material consciousness, more neutral about whether things are right or wrong, good or bad, because it's not really about that. So then we have to have the question, okay, if it's not about that, then what is it about? Because BKs have a lot of challenges. and something is giving you a hard time, right? And then you have to deal with it. Or someone is misbehaving and then you don't like that. Or they're not treating you right and you don't like that. Or you're dealing with some karmic account, you have a problem with your health, or you have a problem with your mind, or you have a problem with money, or some type of challenge, and then you don't like that because you think that you should be having purity, peace and prosperity, and you're not having it, so it's a challenge. And then what to do in your mind when you experience these different challenges? And I think this is why Baba has told us the knowledge of drama. And the knowledge of drama is extremely subtle. And Dadi Jenki was always telling us, you know, you've got to really understand the knowledge of drama. So when you are adversely impacted by some scene in drama, it's just because you haven't understood the knowledge of drama. And there's an adverse feeling, or you don't like it, or something like this. So we're moving between positive and negative. And then we have a lot of practice about positive thinking, yeah? We want to think positively, but we have to also be able to really understand the meaning of drama to be able to do that. And I think we have to be able to forget this bodily religion, in the sense that our mentality is categorizing things. They're good or they're bad, or they should or shouldn't be happening, or you like this one and you don't like that one, things like that. So I think also one of the attributes of the mantra, forget your bodily religion, is to activate your perception to be able to see that whatever's going on is equivalent to virtual reality. Do you know about virtual reality? Have you ever put these masks on, which you see some different thing? There are these BK virtual reality videos. Have you seen? No? Yes? Anyway, you can. They have them in Shantivan. And you can go to the soul world or whatever. And virtual reality is a very interesting piece of technology that I think helps us to understand the drama. Ask yourself this question: where exactly do you perceive whatever it is that you perceive? So we perceive the reality, the visible, audible, tangible world through our bodies. And the actual experience of visible, tangible reality is occurring in our minds. Is that right? If you do not have eyes, if you're blind, if you're deaf, if you're, you know, not able to smell or touch or any of those things, and there are people who get into that sort of situation through some illnesses or whatever, and then for them, this external tangible reality either doesn't exist or hardly exists. So we have this practice of forgetting the body, forgetting the bodily relations, and forgetting the body religion or culture, which is asking us, go inside and see what is your sense of existence on the inside. And so what is going on in our mind is lots and lots of things that are imprinted from our physical perceptions or our perception of the physical world. So that when you want to sit down and meditate, you have stuff in your mind. And it's quite a lot of work to clear all this from the mind. And one quite interesting thing that Baba had said one time is why we do Amrit Vela is because when you wake up at that time, you are very closely in contact with your subconscious. And then you can have an experience of what's going on in your subconscious. And many BKs think that if you're meditating correctly, you will experience purity, peace, power, love and bliss to an unlimited extent. And that is a sign of successful meditation. Am I right? And then you will experience Shiva Baba and you will be floating in the ocean of love and all the sorts of things that normally come in meditation commentaries, yeah? Which sounds nice, but it's not really what happens. And many people have this question that there are days when I have really, really good meditation and then the next day I have a really, really bad fall into a more negative type of inner experience. Do you experience this? Yeah? And then you think, maybe I'm not doing this right. Yes? Many people say that. But actually, the process of clearing out all of this residual sort of pictures and feelings and so on from your mind, all this goodness and badness, is really what Raj Yoga is all about, so that we can become what Baba calls karmatit, right? We are trying to become karmatit, is that correct? So karma, what we do, is also described in terms of pure action and impure action, or sins and charity. So whenever we do something, there's an impact on the soul. Shiv Baba is described as someone who doesn't do anything. So in Hindi he's called Akarta, he doesn't do anything. Abhokta, nothing ever happens to him. And Asochta, he doesn't think. Those are quite important little words. Akarta, Abhokta, Asochta. And it's also there in the Gita. So when we're karmati, we want to be something like this. That whatever is going on outside of our bodies or inside of our mind, the way that we are experiencing it is pretty much neutral. It's not negative. Positive is where you are accumulating something very pure for the purpose of neutralizing something impure. But when you are karmatit, you feel good, but I don't think you feel like the ecstasy, you know, the agony and the ecstasy of the up and down stage. The karmatit stage, I think, is good, but quite neutral. So neutrality doesn't mean that you're not feeling anything at all, because the essential qualities of the soul are purity, peace, power, love, bliss. So you will feel those, but you won't be on a swing. In body consciousness, we're always on the swing of good and bad and nice and nasty and pleasant and unpleasant and all this, because we desire the pleasant. Whereas karmatit, you are more like beyond this pleasant and unpleasant. So the stage of being pure, you know, purity if you think about what does it feel like to be pure, it's not that much of a feeling. It's clean, it's clear, it's transparent. Your conscience is completely clear. You're stable, steady. Love, your soul is very full, so you can extend good things to whoever's around. But you're not love in the sense of directing some particular energy to someone with some intention that it would become some good connection, good relationship. It's not like that. Peace, this word shanti, also we can experience in English three words which can work for peace. One is stillness, you know, so when your mind is really still and silent, it's a very deep, good feeling, but it's not this swinging up and down between, you know, peace and peaceless. It's still. And when you become like this still and free from all of the things that are going on in the material world of people and places of and things, then you go to this other dimension altogether. And it, I think, is what Baba means when he says, the sweet silence home. What do you think? Sweet silence home. It's a very still, very nice state where nothing at all is happening and you don't feel anxious or anything like this, but you just feel very deep and very still. Because, you see, we're coming to the end of the cycle and we're practicing to let go of everything that there is in the material universe. When the astronauts went into space, they would say things like, when they would look at the Earth, they would enjoy the stars, no doubt, but their attention was very much drawn to the Earth, and they would say things like, everything that has any meaning for us is on the Earth. Our people, our places, our things, everything is that. And so, okay. But what we have to do is turn our attention away from the drama and towards the soul world. You know, even in today's Murli also, many Murlis, Baba says, you want to leave all this because the drama is finishing. And you know, when Baba said samapti, then everybody says, how do we interpret this word? And one interpretation is, well, it's finished, it's over, everything is done. And what we now have to do is withdraw. So one of the eight powers is also the power to withdraw. We also have the power to pack up. So these two, the power to withdraw and the power to pack up, are really quite helpful in this practice to let go of everything. And we can only really do that when we know that everything there is, everything that there ever has been, is fixed, it's pre-recorded, nothing can get lost. I think this is a very important idea to keep in one's mind in order to allow us to let everything go and just be a still, silent, pure being who is not doing anything at all, who is not having anything at all, but who is just reaching a point of stopping. And this is a very scary thing for people. I think this is why people are afraid of death, you see, because forget your body, forget your bodily relations, and forget your bodily religion is a preparation for death. And most people, they don't really know what is death. They don't know that it's a piece of karma. It's an act, you know. Usually people think that death will come and take you. And for BKs, it's quite important not to miss your death. You know, some people, they die because of some illness, you know. And then when you have an illness where you might be in a coma and then, oops, disappear that way. Or somebody may switch off the life support. Or you may be on extreme morphine and until you kind of disappear in a cloud of opium. But for us, you know, Brahma Baba described his physical death, which was through heart attack. And there were two very powerful experiences going on. One was the pull of the body, which is matter, because when you have a heart attack, it's extraordinarily painful, which means you have to have very, very high level power of tolerance to be able to move through extreme pain without it taking over your being, you see. So this is serious spiritual power, to be able to leave the body consciously and in total pain. And then the other is that you have attachments. You know, there's your people, there's the people you love, and there's your work and everything that you made your life about, and you have to leave that, you see. So these two very, very strong pulls he talked about, and how the pull of the remembrance of Shiv Baba had to be more powerful than the pull of physical pain and the pull of attachment. And so our practice of Raj Yoga over a long, long period of time, during which time we experience all kinds of, you know, things in drama that we don't like, that we don't agree with, we think it's bad, we think it shouldn't be happening, blah, blah, blah. Plus we have our karmic accounts, you get the feeling of betrayal, the feeling of failure, the feeling of loss, and all the various different things that we experience in the confluence age. All of these are very, very helpful, because they are practices for us to be able to let go and to adopt an attitude of neutrality about it all. Sometimes Baba says it's all cartoons. You know, Tom and Jerry, Mickey Mouse, however you want to put it. Then you can, when you see all of this as a matter of entertainment, like when you see similar things in movies, although it does activate your heart rate and your emotions, and you may cry or whatever, whatever, you still in the back of your mind you know that it's just entertainment. And so Baba gives us this the story about the drama, that it's like a movie. It's a 3D movie. And now with technology we can understand virtual reality, and we can also understand how all of these 84 births, which are all individual movies, they can all fit in a small dot, much as a number of movies can fit in a little chip. You know, we're quite used to that. In 1937, there was no way people could understand that all these movies could fit in a little chip, and you can, you know, put it in your computer and watch whichever one you want by just pressing a button. The technology wasn't there. And so Baba would describe it, but nobody could understand it, in the sense that there wasn't anything that they could compare it with, so they had to just sort of accept it pretty much with blind faith. But with the development of technology, and as we you know, grow and understand these things differently, it's all very comprehensible. And so it becomes progressively easy for us to see the whole thing as a virtual reality and then put it out here somewhere. Then he says, understand that it's anyway only going on in your mind. Because the only place where this activity is experienced by us individually is in our mind. We cannot experience anything anywhere else except in our mind. And so we have to think about this, because in previous generations they would never think like that. Reality was reality, physical. And so there was philosophies which would say it is not real, and people would accept the idea that it is not real. But there were very, very few people who would practice different kinds of spiritual practices to be able to experience moving from material reality to the dimension of nirvana, which can be done in different spiritual practice. And then they would know. So we have these expressions, Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya, which means that the element of light is real and the world is not real. So they would say that. They would tell people this, and the people would either accept it or reject it, but they couldn't understand it. They couldn't experience it because it's out of their range. But for us, it's coming in range, which means it's possible for us to shift our consciousness to a point where we are able to let go and really be neutral about all the people. You know, it's often told to us, do not have any likes or dislikes, right? So we're told, do not have, but reality is we like this and we don't like that. We like these people, we don't like those people. We relate to these people, we don't relate to those people. But when you understand that it's really all in the mind, and then you withdraw yourself even more from it, the way that you experience the things that you experience is more and more neutral. All of this is also a preparation for destruction, right? Because we hear in every Murli it's going to be destruction, it's going to be next week or tomorrow or something like that, you know. Live every day as if it's your last day. And destruction never happens, never happens, but it's coming, you know, you can see the signs, climate change, political instability and whatnot and so forth. And as the signs of destruction happen more and more strongly, I think many people, many BKs become aware that the quality of your spiritual practice is not at the level that it needs to be. Do you feel that? Yes, no? It's at the level or it's not at the level. Most people I speak to say, no, we need to be a lot further ahead. So I think the way that we have been doing things moves us ahead at a certain rate. But our feeling in general seems to be that that rate is too slow. We're unlikely to arrive at where we need to arrive if we go at this pace. So we have to find a way to increase the speed of our effort. So when Baba talks about volcanic yoga and intense effort, there are some other ways that you can look at these words, intense and volcanic. So this word Tivra Purusharat, you can also say it means fast effort. So to me, fast means how quickly can you position yourself inside your being in a state of detachment when something happens which is specially designed to disturb you. Let's see. Does it take half an hour or a week? Or can you do it in a second? Because if we use these mantras in the way that they could be used, it's technically possible for us to detach in a second, but we have to be very fast. Because if the experience grabs your mind, then that makes it, you know, you have to work to get your mind ungrabbed by the experience. And one of the things Baba had told us is things will happen suddenly and unexpectedly. So it reminds me of the martial arts expert who is able to have an immediate response to any kind of attack, you know, and deal with it. And to me, that's a very good example of fast effort. There's this immediate response to anything that you immediately go into, you're detached. And whatever it is what it is. And for that, to my way of thinking, part of practicing this mantra of forget your body, forget your bodily relations, forget your bodily religion, is we need to be completely away from what I call conventional morality, where we are dividing things into good things and bad things. And to make ourselves amoral, you see. And people have a lot of resistance to this because they think amoral is really bad. And because we're in the last phase of the cycle, becoming amoral is very convenient. We know in a general way that according to the knowledge of Dharma, Baba says, everything is as it should be. So that theoretically we can no longer say it shouldn't have happened or it, you know, why couldn't it have happened another way? You know, he says why, what, and all these words. We need to be free from them. And he had told us this 40, 50 years. He's still telling us this because it takes us quite a while to really understand what is the meaning of being completely free from whether something is good or bad or shouldn't have happened. And the only way I think that we can do this is by completely replacing our usual moral sense with something different, which I think is really to do with virtues and powers. So if you forget your body, your bodily relations, and your bodily religion, then what you are is just a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful soul. Which means that whatever happens, it won't activate your thoughts and feelings that it's good or bad or nice or nasty, and it won't create any anxiety or fear or any of these other things. The yoga that we do has to do with taking light. So when you're sitting in remembrance of Baba, you need to take light into yourself, which is a kind of spiritual power. And sometimes Baba calls it sakash. And we have to take that in because then the amount of power in us is increasing. And we also have to do karmas which are according to this knowledge, which means that everything is okay. And we just operate with virtues and we handle things with powers and go completely away from whether something's good, bad or indifferent. And it's quite difficult for people to do that because it's very deeply ingrained in us and in our programs and things like this, a lot of our literature and so on, is very much still with this idea of things being good and bad and all that. You know? But I think that it causes our rate of spiritual development to be slow. And that because we're feeling that our rate is so slow, we are having this thought that what do we need to do so that it's not this slow, so that it's fast, so that I can have the immediate response to these various different provocations and be neutral, you see. And I think that this is really going to help us to reach this stage of karmatit. Because when we think that something is not okay, it creates thoughts which drain our energy. And when we really are not concerned whether it's okay or not okay, but we just see it as part of the movie, and we pull ourselves back and say, okay, am I okay? Am I able to be instantly a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful soul, regardless of whether some other actor in the drama is doing something good or bad or what? Or whether some event is okay or not okay? Or whether I'm included or excluded or any of those things that usually take place in our minds. So these are just a few thoughts of how to think about this mantra. I'm going to stop now because it is the gift ceremony. And here is Meera Ben coming to tell us about it. Om Shanti.